Hi, I'm Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. In 2017, Canada celebrates its 150th anniversary of our Confederation. Between now and then, we'll be pondering Canada. A great way to start is the magnificent book by Derek Hayes, Canada, An Illustrated History Revised and Expanded. Originally published in 2004, this new edition is indeed expanded, taking us right to the 2015 federal election, and including over 400 illustrations, some 200-plus photographs, 50-plus paintings and drawings, as well as maps, posters, stamps, cartoons, stained glass, and tapestries. Derek Hayes joins me now, and I'll get him to tell us about this book and the Canada he chronicles beyond the last 150 years. The book goes back to the early days of exploration. Derek Hayes is an award-winning and best-selling author of the Historical Atlas series, which includes the Historical Atlas of Canada, Historical Atlas of Vancouver and the Lower Fraser Valley, Historical Atlas of Toronto, and the Historical Atlas of the United States. He is a geographer by training with 2 degrees in geography. He was a planner with Vancouver City Planning Department, as well as a real estate consultant. His website is at derekhayes.ca. This book is published by Douglas and McIntyre. Please welcome to the Plant Online program in White Rock, British Columbia today, Derek Hayes. Mr. Hayes, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So as I was telling you before we started, just how much I enjoyed the book, and you know, I like to think that I know a bit about Canada, about this country that I was born in, that I have grown up in. But as I was reading your book, there was something new I learned every few pages. I mean, Germans landed in Canada during the war?
Yes, well, that's one of the sort of design features, if you like, of the book that I tried to do, was to tell what I refer to as the sort of interesting side stories of Canadian history, as well as the mainstream material that you'll find in any good history of Canada. So, like the Germans landing in Canada, yes, that's one of these little side stories. It's not super significant, but it's kind of interesting. The Germans actually were, of course, waging a war with submarines in the North Atlantic during the 1940 to 1944 period. And they wanted weather information because they had nothing, of course, from this side of the ocean. And so they sent a submarine up to northern Labrador, a place called Martin Bay, and they landed and installed an automatic weather station there. So, and it transmitted apparently at least until January 1944. Mm-hmm. And I presume it must have been working off of batteries. And it was only discovered in about 1980 because of a German researcher who found documents referring to it and told the Canadian government, and then went looking for it and found it. And the weather station itself now is in the possession of the Canadian War Museum in Ottawa.
Hmm.
And of course, so we can say that Germans landed during the war in what is now Canada. Of course, it wasn't Canada at the time; it was an independent colony of Newfoundland and Labrador.
Yeah. Well, so how do you take a country's history and distill it as you do in a book this size? I mean, it could easily be twice the size that the book is, right?
Yeah, well, that's one of the problems is keeping the size down, and unfortunately, the market, of course, requires a book to be sold, you know, at a reasonable price and also to be a reasonable size. Otherwise, people won't want to even carry it out the store. So you have to bear in mind and condense things to some extent. But it sort of focuses the mind on what is really significant. So you can't ramble on forever, for sure.
So what's the thinking in terms of what stays and what goes?
Well, it's two things, really. It's a matter of significance to Canadian history. I mean, there's certain things, of course, that you just have to have in. But there's also a matter of interest, right? I mean, it's stuff, the material that I'm interested in, and I hope readers would be interested in, and that's what I use to guide me, plus perhaps to some extent the availability of illustrative material. You know, if there's an interesting photo, for example, a good example of that is this Wait for Me, Daddy photo that
All right.
was taken in 1940 of a bunch of soldiers marching down the hill in New Westminster. To go abroad and fight, and there's the photograph shows a little boy running after his daddy, who's one of the soldiers, and that was something I updated in the updated section because the city of New Westminster a couple of years ago unveiled a memorial at the bottom of the hill, which is a statue based on that photograph, which was taken by province photographer Claude Detloff originally. And it's now it was unveiled by the little boy in the photo, who is now, getting on in years.
Yeah.
But there was a ceremony involving him. So I went there and photographed that and wrote up about that and referenced it back to the main photograph, which is in the book, of course, earlier on in the Second World War section. So it kind of is a interesting update, shall we say.
Yeah, and it's a great photo because you've got, I guess he was 79 at the time, but he'd be in his 80s now. He's got his family around him and his own children and grandchildren.
Yes, the photograph shows him holding a hand of his granddaughter, yes.
Yeah. The initial book in 2004, that sold well, did it not?
Yes, it did. It came out as a hardcover, and then as these things do, it went to paperback and has been in print basically ever since. It was briefly out of print when the original Douglas and McIntyre went bankrupt in 2012, and has been... Now the imprint has been revived by the owner of Harbour Publishing. The books are being has been republished as a paperback, but this is a completely new edition.
And so, when you look back at the events since 2004, what was your thinking in terms of what to include from that time period? Because I mean, you couldn't include everything that happened from 2004 to 2015, but there were some things that did happen that you just mentioned, that Wait for Me, Daddy update that you did with the monument.
Yeah, well, of course, again, there's certain things you feel you have to have in, you know, who was Prime Minister, that kind of thing, but to be honest, that's not really what interests people the most, I don't think, and at least until you get to little section I've called The Rise of Justin Trudeau. So again, it's really a matter of significance and interest. It covers the 2010 Olympics, the terrorist attacks, and also there's a little thing on the finding of Sir John Franklin's ship's ship in the Arctic, which again was referred to earlier, of course, when it got lost in 1846-7, somewhere there.
Uh-huh.
And then they found it, so that was kind of an obvious update, I guess, and an interesting one too, and one for which there's illustrations available. I got the sonar scan from Parks Canada, and it's in the book.
Have you noticed a difference in what we consider history? I mean, has that changed at all since the first iteration of this book?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by that, but yeah, I mean, certainly people's perceptions of what's important, I suppose, change. But you see, the problem with doing an update like that, I mean, it covers 13 years since the book was first published, and it's very difficult to determine what is really significant in the long term when you're writing about things that happen, events that happened just recently.
Mm-hmm.
They may or may not turn out to be significant, and of course things that you perhaps have ignored turn out to be more significant still, but you do your best.
So, for example, you have a book in the further reading, whose author was on this program when that book came out, and I remember at the time thinking that there was a lack of focus in terms of the First Nations and Aboriginal history in this country. I guess since that book came out, people have cited that as one of its flaws. So have you noticed, I say, trends in terms of how people perceive this country?
Yeah, well, certainly Aboriginal history, Aboriginal concerns are much more to the forefront than they were even 10 years ago, I think, no doubt about that. The recognition of that Aboriginal title, that sort of thing.
So a couple of other things that you look at in the book that I found fascinating. You look at newspapers and postal delivery, and that's changed quite a bit over the last few years.
But yes, but you,
yeah, and you talk about how significant they were in the country's history. Do you have a sense of where these two aspects of life, where they'll be in a few years hence?
Well, that's not history, is it? That's predicting the future. The postal service has been critical to the development of the country because of the fact that there's such large distances involved. In many places in Canada, the mail was the only way they got any information or goods, for that matter. I mean, you did get mail order goods by mail order if you were on the prairies. It's not it's not like today at all.
Yeah. Do you still collect stamps, by the way?
Well, sort of. I mean, I still have my stamp collection. I must say, I haven't actively pursued it for a number of years. It's one of those many things that I've reserved for my retirement, but I've never really got to it because I never have time. So.
Yeah, I always wonder when I go to the post office and you can get those self-adhesive stamps, how one would collect those.
Yes, you can really only collect them if you're stuck to the backing material, can't you?
Yeah. The persons who make Canada, I mean, you have in the book, of course, the statesmen are significant in a country's history. But, I mean, are there other people that you think we don't think about that are worth mentioning as we ponder our history?
Yes, well, of course, I've tried to include that to a certain extent. I mean, it's not a social history as such, but of course, history is a lot more than the politicians.
And when you talk to people who've read your books, and they say, "Oh, I didn't know that before I picked it up." As I told you, as we started, that must say something about our regard for history. I mean, do you have any thoughts on that in terms of how literate we are about our country's history?
Yes. Well, of course, there's a popular feeling, I suppose, or has been a popular feeling, that Canadian history is relatively boring, and I've tried to dispel that and that's the purpose of all these sort of interesting side stories, if you like. But there's a lot of, there's a section on immigration, certainly, that would affect most people, because we're mainly immigrants, let's face it.
Yeah, and The places that define Canada, I mean, not enough of us go to our nation's capital, like Ottawa, or places like Charlottetown, that have a significant place in the country's history.
No, that's true, and that's unfortunate, and that's one of the reasons why the various agencies are trying to put more online, and as we go forward, there will be much more available online. It's unfortunate that sort of Ottawa is one end of the country, I suppose. I mean, I guess it's okay if you live in Toronto or something, but it's not very accessible if you live in Vancouver, is it?
Yeah. There are 450 plus illustrations in the book. What's it like to find the pieces that you include in this book, and in terms of getting them? I mean, is that quite a process in itself?
Well, it can be. Of course, many of them come from Library and Archives Canada and the traditional sources, newspapers. I purchased quite a lot of material on eBay, actually, funnily enough, old maps in particular, and things like an Eaton's catalogue, right? I mean, there's a section on the Eaton's catalogue, which was so very important at one time. And there's a brochure illustrated advertising the Eaton's catalogue, and that was bought on eBay, as indeed I did a 1926-27 Eaton's catalogue, which I still have. The whole catalogue, it's a whole history in itself, all the little gadgets and clothes and so on that were worn at the time that they were selling for what seems like next to nothing today.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I talked to older people who grew up and how much that revolved around their lives as kids.
Yes.
Yeah. What, because you've written this series of books, the Historical Atlas series, what do you like, because I always wondered this about you, what do you like with maps in terms of when you have to travel a place and things like that? I mean, you must be pretty good at it. That's what I'm assuming.
Well, I've always felt that maps are an underutilized resource for historians. They say a picture is worth a thousand words, and sometimes I think a map is worth much more than just a picture, because it shows what, for example, an explorer knew when they were exploring, or what they found out in relation to geographically relating to one another, and it's just a as I say, I don't think historians use maps enough. So I sort of set it out to be my sort of little niche, I suppose, that I would emphasize the maps part of it. And I think people, I think there's a little bit more respect for maps historically now than there was when I started. So whether that's anything to do with me, I don't know, but.
And how are you when you have to get somewhere? I mean, do you rely on a map? Or I guess we all have Google Maps now.
Well, that's the trouble, isn't it? I mean, I, like everybody else, use the map on my phone most of the time now. And it's unfortunate because the sort of paper road map is certainly seems to be going the way of the dodo, which means that there won't be the material for a book like this perhaps in the future, or a book like my Historical Atlas is, at any rate. That's the way it is, so we've got to live with it.
We're coming up to the 150th anniversary of Confederation. What do you think 2017 will be as significant, say, as 1967 was in the country's history?
Oh, well, that's who can say? I the population is quite a bit larger than it was then, I suppose. But I don't know. I mean, who knows? It would just be a guess.
Yeah, it was a significant period of time, though. I mean, the there are books written about just how important that year was, and the resources that the federal government at the time poured into. Just marking
No doubt that will happen again. The federal government, seizes on that as a way of promoting the idea of being a Canadian, pride in country, and all the rest of it. Rightly so, yeah. I might add. I mean, I don't think Canadians appreciate their country perhaps sometimes as much as, say, the Americans do, or certainly not with so much flag waving and so on, at any rate.
Yeah, and in reading your book, you realize, it is an imperfect country. The history is not as lively as other countries, but man, it's just a remarkable country nonetheless, isn't it?
It is indeed, yes.
Yeah. Derek, you've done a great service for those of us that appreciate history, and I'm sure for scholars and historians alike, with all of your books, including this new one. Congratulations on this new one, and thanks for your time today.
Oh, thank you very much, Joseph. I appreciate very much you asking me all about it.
The website, derekhayes.ca. The book is called Canada, an Illustrated History, Revised and Expanded, It's published by Douglas and McIntyre. Do pick it up. It's a handsome book, and you'll learn a great deal from it, I'm sure. Derek Hayes, its author, joined me on the line from White Rock in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.